Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.
It's a marvelous night for a moon dance with the stars up above in your eyes. A fantabulous night to make romance beneath the cover of October skies. You know the leaves on the trees are falling to
what's
the
up, what's
sound
up, everybody?
Of
everybody, welcome aboard to the Bubba Show.
Yeah,
top of Horowitz with you and
I don't know, can it get any crappier? Can it get any slower? Is there more torture on the way? You know, it's interesting to watch markets and being a market watcher for almost 40 years. I've seen this movie before, but it just never ceases to amaze me how the same people fall into the same trap every single time. I think that it's really an interesting setup and situation that, you know, it's a market that, you know, everybody knows can only go up, and nobody's worried about the potential that it can ever go down again. And I'll tell you, I mean, it just, I find it interesting only from the aspect that we've seen the movie so many times and the same people get caught in the same trap over and over and over again. And, you know, I just, it's interesting to watch because of the overall setup, and that it's fairly understandable. And, you know, we talk about this often. You know, certainly we should all just be hedged and not think about it, but even unhedged. And, you know, Tony Robbins was on Maria Bartiromo's show yesterday, and he was talking about, you know, if you just stayed in, you know, you'd be okay. And of course, I agree with that. I think you should just stay in, but I think you should stay in hedge because you could do even better than just stay in. And, you know, at the end of the day, you know, I think that we look at it and we say, okay, so how do we do better? And that's how we do better. And then we don't have to try to time the market, because everybody thinks that they can time it down and put themselves in a position to understand what's going to happen next. And of course, we know that that's a bunch of BS, because it doesn't work that way. And that is something that I, you know, again, I find it simply fascinating that, you know, we continue to watch and see the same mistakes made over again, because, you know, we think that we're smarter, we think that we know more, and nobody knows more than the markets. I mean, the markets are self-contained by traders, and trading, you know, money flow will determine the next move. So if you just put it on the side and you say, okay, I understand that, and then I don't have to worry about it, and if I look for a good solid footprint, then I'm really in good shape, and I don't have to worry about anything else. And that's where, you know, I run into, you know, a little emotional trouble when I talk to people, because we know what's going to happen. We know where the markets are going to go. I mean, we know they're going to go up. We know they're going to go down. All right. We know a lot about what's going to happen, but what we know for a fact for sure is that they've gone up, you know, basically 9% year over year. We know for sure that there's a correction coming. And our only question is when. And again, we're not trying to outguess or outsmart it. We're just saying, hey, let's play the footprint. Let's watch the market footprint. Let's put ourselves in that best spot so that we can actually find some success and not try to overthink it. Because again, if you're trading actively, then you're doing a little bit more thinking, but you're not overthinking it. You're continuing to just go ahead and trade it and do your thing. And if you're doing anything else, well, then you're looking for a reason to enter and exit, and that should always be your part of the game. Is when do you get in, when do you get out, and what's going to be the trigger point, and how to help you get in and out, and that's where I find it fascinating that you get, you know, all the experts in the world, all the geniuses telling you, you know, how many things are going to happen, and here I am, I'm just telling you, hey, just take care of yourself. Don't listen to the idiots that want to try to control you. Okay, remember, when you sit down in the market, anytime you're in the market, and anytime anything's going on, you logically look at it, and you say, all right, the markets are not moving. And right now is a great example. The sell-off that we are seeing is one that is being sold off with no fear. Okay? We are seeing a market sell-off right now where volatility is falling. So that's something that says, hey, there's buyers, you're probably going to get ready to step in, which would be correct. So we can obviously see that the sell-off we're having right now is not the start of a correction. A sell-off we're having right now is not the start of the next down move. The sell-off we're having now is just a little rotation, a little rest from the markets, you know, just going straight up. Now, could that change? Of course it could. But if you look at yesterday, we had the markets open down. They opened down Sunday night into Monday. They had rallied back and then they broke again. But you saw the heavy volume on the open. And by the middle of the day, there was no volume. It was like the market was closed. Now, again, I'm just saying that, you know, when it looks like the market's closed, okay, so the market is closed. And, you know, you have to know that you're probably not, it's probably not to your advantage to try to be active there because you're probably not going to be able to do very well because there's not enough stuff happening. And I think that is the biggest thing that you have to recognize as a trader and as an investor. You know, it's not, you know, trying to time the market. It's trying to time your entry when you're going to do some more buying, or if you're short-term trading, when you're going to do some selling, because I think that gets you more opportunities. And I think that's where we miss the boat, is by trying to overthink that part of the equation. And to me, it's just, it's a simple equation, and it doesn't mean you're going to always be right. I have had plenty of losers, so we're not saying, but what we're saying is that you put yourself in a position to be successful. You put yourself in a position to be able to go ahead and make that next great trade, knowing that if you're wrong, okay, you'll get out, you'll take your losses. And that even is more important, okay, is that if we know what we're going to do, we know how we're going to go ahead and make the next trade. Because one thing we know for sure, if we're doing our job, and we're doing our job well, we know that how much we can lose on any one individual trade. We just never know how much we can make. And that, my friends, is the most important thing, is the recognition of what you're going to make versus what you're going to lose, and not being so hung up with the tick by tick of the market. Because again, if you buy something at two, you're going to sell it at one, then you know you're going to lose one. But you don't know how much it can go up from there. So always you leave that as a spot for yourself, saying, okay, so I understand that. And that is the thing about trading, because when volatility does spike, it will give you a much better chance to really crack one. And that's what we're talking about, and that's what we're looking for. And that's the Bubba Show. This is the Bubba Show. And I am Todd Bubba Horowitz, and of course, LibertyTalk.fm is your only place you go for all your content, but especially to download the Bubba Show and the Sporting Edge. And of course, my brand new Bubba's Bottom Line is available at BubbaTrading.com. Go check it out. We do about once a week, and we will see you right after the break. This is the Bubba Show. I am Todd Bubba Horowitz, coming right back after the break. The Bubba Show. Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz hanging out with you. And, you know, we're kind of dissecting and breaking down markets a little bit. And you know, there's certain things that we want to look at and we want to look for. And one of the things that I always want to focus on is, you know, where am I going to find that next great opportunity? And how am I going to find that next great opportunity? And I think that, you know, what we do is we're always focusing, on the next big project. And this is where you yourself, all three of your friends, you yourself and me, or you, it's well, me, myself, and I. All right, so I figured that out. Those are my three best friends. But that's where you now try to figure out and work out your overall game plan. And that's you kind of try to figure out, you know, where you're going to go from and how you're going to, you know, put yourself in a better position. And not get caught up into the trap of what some of these rummies say. And I think that is, you know, one of the problems is that we get too much involved with what other people's opinions are when we can certainly look at the markets on our own. And again, you know, we did the risk thing last week and the long-term trading, and it's really more about entering and saying to yourself, okay, I understand what the market's going to do. The markets right now look like they're going to do X, and I can trade based on what the market looks like. Because again, the chart itself is a market footprint. That market footprint tells you where the money is going. All right? It's the money flow. And that's what we care about. So when we understand and know where the money flow is, we then have the opportunity to actually trade at a better clip and have a better understanding of what we're going to do next. All right. So if we understand what the money is, and not what the news is meaningless. It's the way that money is coming into the market. And as I said earlier, right now, as much as I'd like to say, you know, we're at a top, and I do think we're at a top. I don't think we may not be at the top. We may not be at the ultimate breakdown. But right now, I do believe that we're at a top. And what I'm looking for here is for me to confirm that I need the volatility to start to pick up, which it's not. So that's the first sign that, hey, it's real, the market is really not ready yet to start working in that direction, which is fine, okay? Again, we worry about overall how we're going to do it. And what we don't want to worry about is making a mistake and getting trapped in by some idiot who wants my money in there so they can make their commission. That's what I always worry about you guys out there, is that, you know, we get trapped in, you know, buying something or selling something that we probably don't want to do right now, and is probably not to our best advantage. It only takes care of the person who's selling it. And that's where I kind of, you know, look and say, hey, how are we going to do better overall? And the way that we do better is we focus on the pattern that the market sets up for us. We focus on the opportunities that the market leaves for you. And, you know, if you look at different things that happen, you will see that last Wednesday was pretty much of a blow, what we call a blow off to the upside, a blow off top. Now, again, you know, we've come down since then. Now, again, I'm not saying it's going to go straight down. I'm just saying, hey, you know, those are things you want to look for. But what are some other things that might be problematic? Well, we've got the next Lehman Brothers, Deutsche Bank, having to issue more stock to raise $8.5 billion. Well, I mean, the banks should have done nothing but make money over the last, you know, 8 years, even Deutsche Bank. So why are they out of money? Now, Deutsche Bank is also the one that had issues last year, and they were being compared to Lehman Brothers. And Deutsche Bank is also the one who did not who did not redeem or give redemptions on paper gold last year as well. Now, I mean, I don't know that they didn't have it, but that was one of the things that set up a red flag to me. So to me, that's a red flag. If one of the biggest banks in the world now has to raise more capital, then that might be insinuating there might be a small problem. So to me, I got to go, oh, okay. So now, again, that doesn't make me do anything, but it certainly, you know, when Deutsche Bank was at its bottom, I was looking to be a buyer. And now that Deutsche Bank is, you know, has rallied, and I'm not necessarily looking to be a seller, but it, to me, that becomes a warning sign saying, oh, man, why are they, what's the problem here, Rocky? And that's where, you know, you have to be very careful. You've got, you know, a market that has had a monster run since Trump got elected. You've got, you know, you've got many reasons to believe that the top should be in. Why? Well, you know, again, we don't have the proof yet from the money. We're getting a little proof. But then the reason that you have the shout out for caution is, well, will Trump be able to get everything passed? And I would say the answer is no. In fact, I wrote to Varney this morning. I said, hey, I'll quit trading forever if he gets everything passed. There's no way, with all the trouble, there's no way. And of course, now you would have thought we might have been down a little bit more on Monday, because you have this wiretapping scandal, and it looks like, you know, as I said yesterday, Trump is nobody's dummy, and I think he had some kind of proof that something was going on, and I think it kind of came out during the day that maybe there is something to it. So if there is something to it, you know, then what does it mean? Well, I mean, you know, again, right now it doesn't mean a lot, but it does mean something. And it should have spooked the market a little bit, but it did not. So if the market's not going to get spooked, you know, what's it going to take? And that, again, this is what you're looking for the next sell-off. So although we have a lot of signs and a lot of indications that markets are near the top, what is going to be actually that final nail that says, yeah, we are at the top? And that will be something, you know, that we have not expected yet. Because again, if you look back at Sunday night and you hear about the missiles being launched, and then you look at Monday, they launched some more missiles in North Korea, and the market still did not get concerned. Again, that is some major complacency. And again, they can be complacent for a while longer. Again, we went through this, you know, 08 just happened to be, you know, November of 08 or October 08, that happened to be where it really became publicized. But there was, you could see the trouble coming in late 07. And actually, the thing that really kicked off the big sell-off, in my opinion, is the when wheat spiked in January of 08. Winter wheat, Minnesota, Minneapolis, winter wheat spiked to $18, if I remember correctly. And I was sitting with the badger, and I go, he says, we both said, look, that's got to be the top. That's got to be the end of the market. And sure enough, that is where the market started to, you know, fall apart a little bit. And, you know, they didn't fall apart. Again, they don't fall apart all at once. That's what everybody thinks. When it's done, it's all at one time. Okay? And it's a method that traps most people, because we think that everything has to happen at one time. And it doesn't. Things happen slowly. But by the time you realize that they're happening, then you find out that, oopsie, I made a mistake. And that's the problem. That's where the problem comes in. When we don't realize what's going on, where we're not watching the money flow, we're not watching the indicators or the signals that the markets send to us saying, hey, this should happen. Right? And that's one of the things that we want to worry about and look at. And when we come back from the break, we're going to do a little bit more training on the long-term portfolio. This is The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. Remember, when you miss a show, or any day, you go to libertytalk.fm and you got to pump it up, download it, get there, help me out. Go to bubbatrain.com and get Bubba's Bottom Line. I do that once a week. I look forward to seeing you there. This is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz will be right back after the break. The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz.
What's up, everybody? Bubba here. It's finally here. The long-awaited Bubba Report. Bringing you news from all the trading floors across the globe. We've got Scott Cialady, the cow guy, as seen on CNBC, Fox, and Bloomberg. We've got Keith Bliss, CNBC, Fox, and a floor trader at the New York Stock Exchange. We've got The Badger, who writes the hot topics in the political news. We've got myself putting together my own unique indexes that will help you give you a better idea of what's going on in the market. All you need to do to get a hold of the Bubba Report is go to thebubbashow.org and sign up for the newsletter, or you can email me direct at bubba@thebubbashow.org. We want you to have this report because we've got over 150 years of experience talking about markets, getting ready for the trading, and puts you in the best position to have successful. So email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org to get a copy of your report, or go right to the website, thebubbashow.org. Make sure you get it. It's a must-have for every investor and trader. The Bubba Report.
The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with you. And of course, when we left off at our last little bit of training, we were talking about now we went from building that portfolio to maintaining it. So let's go back and hear about maintaining the portfolio now that we've built it. Here we go.
Now, just one of the things you have to know is the market. You know, now trading is a competition. Investing is not a competition. All right. You know, there's no prizes for winning, but there's severe penalties for losing. Emotions. Now, this is the biggest of everything. Emotional trading will never get you anywhere. Emotional investing will get you broke. Because remember, markets are built on fear and greed. Markets are pushed up and down on those two things, and it's your own emotion, and know that you can relax. Again, this goes back to the first principle, invest money you can afford. That's it. Because, again, it's a probability model. We're playing a probability model, okay? The probability is that the market for 150 years, well, actually, was it 200 years? 150 years is going up about 9% year over year. It doesn't go up every year 9%, but year over year, it is a 9% return in the right stocks. And you go back, you always hear the stories, if you put 10,000 in Microsoft, you put 10,000 in AT&T in 1985, it'd be worth about, I think it's like $5-6 million, something like that. So at the end of the day, all right, it's about not getting forced out. The only investments that you can buy in a lot are those that can provide an income stream. That's why I like dividends. I like to get the dividend rolling. Now, I don't want to take the money out. I want the money to stay in. I want to help. Not only do I want to compound through growth and price appreciation, I want to compound through my dividends. Market valuations are poor market timing. And again, believe me, you've heard me before. I give no credit to anybody for making a valuation call. Okay. I think half of them are trying to get you to do the opposite. And you can't use that for timing. The only fair amount of timing in the market is you look for a good technical entry. That's it. All right. You're not always going to be right, but it doesn't matter. At least you gave it the best shot. Fundamental and economics drive longer investments. Greed and fear drive the short term, which is what creates the technical analysis. Market timing, and I can vouch for it, is impossible. I've tried. I don't know. I think the next time will be the 1 millionth time I tried. Investment is about discipline and patience. Lacking either one can be destructive to your investment goals. Now, there's always a caveat to this one. There's no value in the daily media commentary except when I'm on. Turn off the television and save yourself the mental capital. And it's a fact. It's an absolute fact. I'm telling you that I only have it on now because I'm on. So I need to know what they're talking about. But when I was purely trading and not on TV, I watched movies, horse racing, sports. I never watched business ever. All right? Trust me, turn it off the TV set. Investing is based on probabilities. That's what we are. We're basing, again, if we're using the right type of work to get the stocks or whatever we're investing in. We're getting the dividends. We're doing all the things together, and we're buying at the time based on what we see. Then we're putting ourselves in the best place as a probability model. That's all. That's all we can do. Again, we're basing everything on a massive scale of probability, the laws of large numbers. Because this is not a casino. You don't need to take unnecessary risk. There's enough risk every single day without you having to step out. Don't take your money out. Now, again, there's some of you that are going to start getting ready to retire, and you're going to want to start taking money. That's fine. Again, that's where you have to draw your plan in. I can't, you know, give everybody the individual plan right now, but that's where you draw your plan in. Tips and touts are for losers, all right? I mean, that's the end of the day. If you ever were a racetrack fan, you know, everybody's selling you the different horse, and, you know, the broker, this is a buy, this is a sell. Good old fundamental analysis, and, you know, is what you need to do as you find a solid company that gives you a reason to be in. You know, General Electric. You know, any of the good stocks, AT&T, Verizon, you know, the PIMCO companies. I mean, those are companies, you know, if you believe in them and you've done your research, again, remember, you're not trying to get a score today. Doesn't hurt if you get it, but you're looking to build for the long term. Okay, I mentioned this earlier, but your 401k. If you have one at work and it's offered at work, I'm telling you, take the maximum. Don't, there's no reason not to take the max. Okay. You should always take the max. Hold on one second. You should always take as much as you can. You cannot, you know, you can't skimp on it. Because, again, you're getting, especially when they're matching it, I mean, you take as much as you can get. If you're going to use mutual funds, look for ones that don't charge too many fees. Okay? Avoid high commissions. And, again, this is, you know, this is one of the things where you ask yourself, again, do I need somebody or can I do it myself? And I'm not recommending one way or the other. I know some very good advisors, and I also know some that are not very good. So, again, I don't have an advisor. I actually have a broker that just keeps all my stuff together. So I'm just, I warn you. Okay, the circle of success, your goals, your objectives, your retirement. And, of course, you know, one of it's, you know, protecting your assets, protecting your income, you know, your taxes. You need to discuss, you know, tax implications with your accountant. You need to set up the accounts properly. Depending on what you have, if you're gonna pass it on, you know, there's a lot of things that need to be done, and your hope and goal should be is that you're gonna get there. You're gonna have to worry about some of these problems, but it starts by using the right type of strategies and setting yourself up for success, and setting yourself up to be in the best position. Again, it doesn't guarantee you'll be successful today, but I can guarantee that if you buy good companies that pay dividends and you don't sell them, 10 years from now, they'll be worth more than they are today. That I would make that guarantee. All right, so dividend. Now, dividends are a company, they pay you money. Now, there is always a big misconception here. You're paying yourself that dividend. I hope you all understand that. The money comes out of the stock. They reduce the stock by the amount of the dividend, and they give you money. The nice part of it is it's taxed at a better rate, which is why Warren Buffett takes $13 million a year in salary, but his salary is $100,000 in real pay and $13 million in dividends because it's taxed at a lower rate. But the company isn't just giving you the money. It's coming out of the price of the stock, and you being a shareholder, you are paying part of that dividend. You're basically paying yourself. But again, it's good because you're taking some of your own money out and you're actually going to reinvest it back in anyways. So you're actually getting a couple of shares, and you know, typically the stock will go down and then it'll go back up. And you know, there's a lot of dividend plays that are made out there from options perspective. But at the end of the day, the company pays a 5% yield, you know, a $100 stock, that's $5 a year, pays $1.25 a quarter. So on the time that it pays that dividend, the stock will go down by $1.25, the value. And then, of course, usually it rallies right back anyways. Now, now there are companies that pay, like PIMCO funds, they pay monthly dividends, but their yield is, you know, the yield, actually I have that model right here. The yield on the dividend is based on the price of the stock. The yield will go up and down as the price of the stock goes up and down, because it's based on basically an amount what they're going to pay. And then if the stock is, obviously, at some points when the stocks were very low, the dividend yields were very high. But as they rally, then the yield drops a little bit. Now, one thing you want to remember is companies that are paying excessive dividends. What, does anybody know why they're paying an excessive dividend? Anybody want to take a shot at it?
And we'll come back later after the break and answer what that means, because it does have some specific meaning as why companies are paying an excessive or a much higher dividend. And of course, again, this is stuff that is just basic to help you get through, you know, taking care of your portfolio, handling everything that you might have had handled in the past, and letting yourself work to put yourself in the better position at all times. And of course, that's what we're all about, is we want to be in the best position to be successful at all times. And the only way that we can do that is by using the methods that we talk about here and defending that portfolio, because again, it's another business that you're owning, that you're running, no matter what size it is, because it's going to grow if you help it grow. So we'll come back after the break and we'll do a little bit more of that, and we'll talk about why companies do pay excessive dividends. This is The Bubba Show. I am Todd Bubba Horwitz, and of course, LibertyTalk.fm is where you go to download The Bubba Show every day, as well as go up there and hit it up for us anyways. And you get the new Bubba's Bottom Line at BubbaTrading.com. That's done once a week, so go check that out. This is The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horwitz. We'll be right back after the break. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horwitz.
After 10,000 beers and 28 years,
welcome back to The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horwitz, on this Tuesday. Don't forget, Fox ahead this week. We're springing forward. Anyways, as we spring forward, and we want to make sure we understand, we are working on maintaining our long-term portfolio. So let's go back to maintaining and get that answer, that all-important answer that we didn't get on why companies pay excessive dividends. Here we go.
Okay. They're paying bigger dividends because they're a riskier investment. You know, companies aren't giving away money for free. Okay. Nobody gives away nothing. So what they're doing is they're trying to entice you by paying you a bigger dividend. Annaly Capital, AGNC, they pay big dividends, but you have a higher risk. Now, it doesn't mean that they're not good investments, but that would not be, you would not want to build your core around stocks that play huge dividends, because all they're saying to you is, hey, you're taking huge risk. You want a huge dividend. That's what you have to do to get those. All right. But just the dividends are the data of the company uses to determine its shareholders, holders of record, the declaration date. A dividend, a distribution report, the company did that. And DRIP is the dividend reinvestment program. Okay. Which is done automatically through a central clearinghouse. Because they are dogs. They're not necessarily dogs. I've got, what is too large? Well, I mean, if you look at the average dividend, you know, probably 4 or 5% is probably about the, you know, a decent dividend. When you start getting up to 7, 8, 9, 10, and like AGNC at one time was paying, I think, 18%. You know, you're getting, you know, the big difference, remember, is the bigger the dividend, the more the risk. And you know, you can take it on a sliding scale. But, you know, certainly, you know, if some of these companies will have very big risk. But again, that doesn't mean they won't pay. I mean, I've owned plenty of them. I mean, PIMCO funds that I do own, when I first got them, they were paying 9%. So I still got them. So I'm not worried about it. Now, this is just, and these are no recommendations. These are just a couple of dividend stocks that you could look at. You know, if you look at different sectors, right, these pay reasonable dividends. You know, nothing is huge. Nothing is real big. But it's just something, you know, again, Verizon, Phillips, General Mills, Johnson & Johnson, John Deere, Granger, Verizon. You know, these are all pretty much low beta stocks that don't have, real good dividend paying stocks typically don't have a lot of volatility. They're typically low beta. They don't move a lot. But again, you're not really concerned because what you like is you want to get some price appreciation and get that 5 or 6% a year plus price appreciation. That's what you're trying to do. That's the objective. You take that 5% or 6% and you invest it back in, get a little price appreciation, and then, of course, it continues to roll. And, of course, when you're reinvesting these dividends, you're buying bottoms, you're buying tops. What do you care? No, we wouldn't go out and buy a top, you know, on purpose. But when I'm investing my dividends, what am I doing? You know, I'm buying 17 shares. So am I going to worry about it? Okay. Now, it's actually very, very simple long-term investing. Okay. You just, you know, you understand that the stock prices lie, dividends don't. I mean, again, you watch and you understand what the makeup of your company is. This is the difference here is, and from a technical standpoint, I would trade anything. I don't really care. I mean, I would trade cockroach races, right? It doesn't matter to me. If I can find an edge somewhere, I'll trade anything. But when I'm investing, I need to make sure that I'm not throwing my money away. And I've done, you know, and I will take some higher risk sometimes in my investment account, but I try not to, especially at this stage of my life. When I was younger, I did. But again, that's where you have to be very careful. But we don't pray. We're not hoping. We're trying to do some homework and find some very solid things to do. We want to know what we own. And again, this goes back to only checking once a week. You know, again, unless you're actively managing a big portfolio and you're hedging it, you know, like that I've taught, then there's no reason to look. If you're hedging, then you need to be a little bit more active. But of course, the hedging program sends you an email and tells you when you need to do something anyways. But don't sell because of a small gain. You never want to, your objective is to be such a good investor that you never have to sell anything. Okay? That's your objective. That should be your first goal. I want to never sell a stock ever again. That's my goal. All right? And I don't sell any in my retirement account. I've had a couple go broke, but I don't sell any. All right? I mean, I'm just saying that your goal should be to never, ever sell again. Because that means you're doing a good job of picking and you got no dogs. Now, it's hard not to have any dogs because they somehow find us, but that's what you try to do. If you overreact, you're going to lose money. I mean, that, again, this goes back to emotion. A big market move, who cares? Don't worry about it. The market has a 150-year history of going up. I don't think that's going to change now. Again, there's going to be time you're going to have to sweat it. But again, those are the points. If you have a 401k, put as much as you can. My third time telling you that today. If you're behind, see if you can use the catch-up plan. You know, again, if you've you know, had some rough financial life early and you've now are finding yourself in better shape, you know, there are catch-up plans where you can put more money away. And some of the plans, you should check with your accountant to see if you can do that. Obviously, the more money you can put away tax-free, you know, for now, the better off you are. Plus the fact that you can deduct it off your current. So, I mean, again, that's something you should talk with your accountant about. Money that has been put away should stay away. Again, you don't go in investing to take the money back out. You want that money to work. Remember the movie, Money Never Sleeps? Money is working 24 hours a day. Don't take it away from there. Don't put yourself in that position. You're better off keeping some money in an emergency fund than taking it out of the market because you're always going to sell at the worst possible time. Pay yourself first. That's what we talked about earlier. When you at the beginning of the month, the first check you write should go to a stock, to a mutual fund, to the SPY, IWM, wherever. That's where the first money should go. Your first bill should be paying you. And I don't care if it's $20, $50, $100, whatever the number is. get a number you can live with. And if you got to cut back on a beer a week or a cocktail a week or whatever it is, I'm just going to tell you, it's worth it. Take advantage of every rule you can. Every tax rule you can take advantage of. And again, everybody's got different. I don't talk accounting stuff because I don't get in trouble. But there's rules out there that you can take advantage of. Take advantage of everything you possibly can. Now, you know, and even at work, I mean, you know, if you can get more, you know, there's some great companies that still have some great benefits. If you can afford it, take everything they give you. You're only going to get it once. You might as well take it. Now, you've got your initial investment. You've got the earnings, dividends, and interest that come on. You've got the reinvestment of the earnings. And, of course, you've got time. That's how you continue to compound out these portfolios. Again, the simple example, Microsoft, AT&T. You take any company that's around today that was around in 1980, and you just do the math, you'll see how much it would have compounded out. I should have done that for as an example. So that was a mistake. I'll remember for next time. But you will see how much it will compound out. All right. Now, obviously, it's all right now. It's like you're saying to yourself, geez, how would I want to get started today? Well, I mean, today wouldn't be ideal, but you can't pick the top of the market, just like you can't pick the bottom. All right. You pick the probability, but you're not going to take your entire life savings and pour it into one thing here. You're going to, you know, let's say you're going to do the minimum $1,000 mutual fund.
And we'll pick that $1,000 mutual fund up the next time because we're running out of time here. But we'll get it. We'll get you educated and make sure that we get you on the right track. I hope that helped you. Again, I'm a big believer in financial literacy and understanding the function and how the markets work and putting you in the best position. So I hope that was of help to you. And you can always email me questions at bubba@bubbatrading.com and I'll get them one day on one of the webinars. In the meantime, this is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz, and of course, LibertyTalk.fm is your only station for downloading The Bubba Show and The Sporting Edge and all your other content. That'll do it for today. We'll see you back here tomorrow. Same time, same station. This is The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. Thank you so much for being here. We'll see you tomorrow. Wake up, Maggie. I think
I got something to say. Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.